Your skin is clammy. There's grit behind your eyeballs. A solitary owl hoots. The world lays creepily silent. Then a shadowy figure emerges from the darkness.
The problem is 99% of the planet doesn't know who he is.
Who is that guy?
A rebel. A guardian of everything that's fair in this dog-eat-dog world. One man with an opinion, a studio hotline, and 5 hours to kill.
Let's do this thing.
Around Australia on the Triple M network. Welcome to The Night Shift with Luke Boner.
Well, look at that. It's Wednesday, November 15, already. So we're at hump day. 3 a.m. is officially hump moment. But here we are, a brand new day, and it is great to be with you. I hope you are well. The telephone number hasn't changed overnight, miraculously. It is 133353, and we are here at your service. If there's something you need to say, if there's something you want the rest of the nation to hear, if there's some conversation you'd like to promote, do it here on the Night Shift Hotline. 133353 is the phone number. We are open for business. Jess is champing at the bit. So am I. How was your day? All right? It was radio survey day today. All commercial radio capital city stations were put to the test, and there were 8 surveys a year. Survey 7 came in yesterday, and the Night Shift did very, very well, particularly in Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide. We've done very well in Melbourne. We haven't got the results for Perth or Hobart yet, but thank you very, very much, each and every one of you, for tuning in to the Night Shift. We have no idea why you do it. We don't know. You all need counselling. But, look, thank you for your support, and I hope it continues. And I hope you can spread the word and let everyone know where we are. 133353 is the phone number. You can contact us on social media, Facebook, The Night Shift on Triple M. You can tweet us at MMMNightShift, and you can email us, nightshift@triplem.com.au. Well, Jackie Lambie, she's the 8th to go. She's gone, and how many more are going to go? She made an emotional farewell to the Senate after discovering that she is not as bloody Australian as she thought she was. The Tasmanian senator confirmed the UK Home Office had told her she was entitled to British citizenship by descent because her father was born in Scotland. She said, "It is with great regret that I have to inform you that I have been found ineligible by way of dual citizenship," she told her Senate colleagues yesterday afternoon. "I love my father to death and I hope to not blame him for this. He has done nothing for which to apologise and he has been my strongest supporter, my loudest cheer squad and my closest advisor," she said. "It is not because of him that I am leaving this place. It is because of him that I am here in the first place." She's a real firebrand, a former member of the Australian Defence Force. She has spoken publicly about her son's battle with drug addiction. Look, she's worked very, very hard. When she first came into the Senate, she was seen as a bit of a joke, a bit like Pauline Hanson was seen as a bit of a joke, but she was someone to be reckoned with. Personally, I'm going to miss her because she gave people like me and Jess something to talk about. She was a great headline. But you know what? At the end of the day, I think she was very, very honest, seriously hardworking. She went in as green as anything, and she's learnt a lot along the way. And it is, in my opinion, that she had the best interests of people of Tasmania at heart. I really believe that. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners in Tasmania, and you might like to give us a call and let us know what you think. 133353 is the telephone number. So what now? By the way, interesting things ahead. Christina Keneally, the former Labor Premier of New South Wales, is back. She's back. Well, she didn't really ever go away. She was on Sky News as a political commentator for a long, long time. But she quit the New South Wales Parliament because she believed that people like Eddie Obeid, who's now behind bars, were crook and running the joint. She's a very, very religious woman, and she's going to run in the Bennelong by-election against JA, John Alexander. Now, until this was announced, I would have thought JA had a pretty fair run. But I think she's going to give him a run for his money. Bennelong has always been a blue-ribbon Liberal seat until Maxine McHugh beat the incumbent Prime Minister, John Howard. Remember that? So it's an interesting seat, Bennelong. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. It's going to be an interesting campaign. It won't be a very long campaign, but interesting times ahead for the federal parliament. Also, today, 10 o'clock this morning, the marriage equality plebiscite result will be out today. Look, I think it'll be a resounding yes, but you know what? There's absolutely no obligation for the parliament to do anything on the result. Now, and what sort of a parliament have we got? It's in a shambles at the moment. So I get a funny feeling after all the fuss and caboodle over the plebiscite, if there isn't some sort of a result sooner rather than later, there are going to be protests and there's going to be screaming, I reckon. That's just my thought. 133353. And now they're only just trying to work out. I saw George Brandis on the television yesterday talking about putting in place laws so that people who, for example, don't want to marry same-sex couples for religious reasons won't be held accountable and won't be called or won't be able to be sued because of discrimination. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Will a florist have the right to refuse to supply flowers to a same-sex marriage because of religious beliefs? Or is that discrimination? And is it religious discrimination? These are the muddy, muddy waters that we're going to have to go through before anything can be legislated. I'm telling you now, it is a bloody minefield. So imagine you have a priest, a Catholic priest. I'm not picking on Catholic priests, any priest, an Anglican priest, it doesn't matter. A Jehovah's Witness priest, it doesn't matter. But let's say you have a priest who, because of religious beliefs, refuses to marry a same-sex couple. Could that minister be sued for discrimination? What about a baker who refuses to supply a wedding cake to a same-sex marriage because of his religious beliefs? Is that discrimination? You tell me. 133353. They're going to have to put into place, and you know, they should have made this clearer from the very, very beginning. And had they made it really clear that there would be no discrimination charges against people who, for their religious beliefs, discriminated, and that's the only word I can use, I think there would have been a lot more yes votes. But they didn't make it clear until yesterday, and it's too late. So what happens if you have a resounding yes, but then they can't pass the legislation because they haven't sorted this other mess out? 133353 is the telephone number. There you are. There was a fatality on Sydney's northern beaches yesterday. Police were in pursuit and it ended in tragedy. A man died in a fiery crash while being followed by police on the Wakehurst Parkway shortly before 11 p.m. Officers attempted to stop the car. It was in North Narrabeen. Police said officers had received information regarding the driver's welfare. While police were following the car, the vehicle crashed into a tree and caught alight. The driver, who was alone in his vehicle at the time, died at the scene. I drive past that exact scene twice a day, every day. There was a small vigil. There was a small group of friends and family, I guess. They were standing in a semicircle around the tree as I drove to work last night. It would have been 20 past seven. And I thought, how sad, how tragic. The young man only had to stop for the police. Police established a crime scene and a critical incident team will investigate the circumstances surrounding the crash. Information will be provided to the coroner. We're still not knowing why the police were following the young man. And look, having seen the tree and I saw footage of the wreckage, this young man hit that tree ferociously. I mean, the car burst into flames instantly. He didn't stand a chance. The tree is a huge, huge tree, and it is black. The flames went right to the top. And you just wonder about police pursuits. I know it changes from state to state, but do you think police should call off high-speed pursuits? In New South Wales, it's left up to police discretion. Mark, are you listening? The ex-copper? Give us a call. What can you tell us about police high-speed pursuits? 133353 is the telephone number. We've had plenty of social media feedback on this, and I'll read it out to you a little bit later on in the program. Now, here is a dilemma. I have done this, and I shouldn't have. And it's a dilemma faced by most parents at some point. You've got a young child or children asleep in the back of your car. You've just filled up with petrol at the servo and it's time to go inside and pay. What do you do? Do you wake the baby and bring them with you as the law would have you do? Or do you leave them behind for just a minute or two with the window down just a little bit because you're only going to be a few seconds? This is a question I want to put to you this morning. This question was put to followers of ABC Brisbane on Facebook yesterday, and the results were mixed, and it's clear to see there is no straight answer to this. So I want to do some digging around to find out what you say. In Queensland, the Criminal Code Section 36(4)(a), under the title Leaving a Child Under 12 Unattended, states a person who, having the lawful care or charge of a child under 12 years, leaves the child for an unreasonable time without making reasonable provision for the supervision and care of the child during that time, commits a misdemeanor. Maximum penalty, 3 years imprisonment. In Victoria, you'll find the offence to leave a child unattended under Section 494 of the Children, Youth and Families Act. It says a person who has control or charge of a child must not leave the child without making reasonable provision for the child's supervision. In New South Wales, according to the Family and Community Services Act, there is no actual law that states at what age children can be left alone. However, anyone who leaves any child or young person in a motor vehicle without proper supervision, potentially, or I know this is very wordy, but that's how these things go, potentially or actually causing emotional or physical harm, is guilty of an offence. So what does it mean? It comes down to each individual situation, according to Shine Lawyers partner and special counsel Will Barsby. In theory, someone may be prosecuted by the police, but the powers are more there to protect children from greater things. Things you hear about, like a kid left in a hot car, like we heard yesterday. So, what does, for example, the RACQ or the NRMA recommend? According to Steve Spaulding, the RACQ's head of technical and safety policy, their advice to parents is always never leave a child unattended in a car. Now, I've done it. I have done it. And I want to know your thoughts on this. I reckon most parents out there in Triple M land have done it. You fill up the car with petrol, and instead of lugging all the kids out, and especially if they're very young and you've got to carry them, you leave them in the car, you put the window down a bit, you lock the car by remote, and you run inside and pay for the petrol. Is that wrong? In most states, yes. You could get 3 years jail in Victoria. 133353. It is a dilemma. You tell me. 133353. I want to talk about insurance scams. There is an insurance scam going on at the moment. A driver in Sydney Southwest was confronted with a bizarre series of events last weekend. The footage was captured on the camera. The unbelievable dash cam video shows the man and the female passenger driving down Meadows Road in Mount Pritchard in Sydney on Saturday when a black SUV driving in front appears to hit the curb. The man stops behind the car and his camera films two women getting out to examine the damage. Frustrated, the man yells at them to turn their hazard lights on before attempting to drive around the pair. As he moves, a woman can be heard yelling, "Wait, wait!" The man continues to drive down the road with nursery rhymes playing on the stereo when he is confronted with yet another obstacle. A silver car pulls out dramatically in front of the man in an attempt to stop him from driving further away from the women who believe he hit them. The vigilante driver pulls across the lane before opening the door, not realising his handbrake is off. As his car rolls into traffic, he quickly leans back in and puts the brake on. The two men begin to yell at each other, the first driver asking, "What's your problem?" And the driver of the silver car appearing to say, "My wife, you hit her car," before taking pictures of the first man's number plates. It looks like an organised racket. How they're able to communicate to the other car to block his path so quickly, one man asked, most likely on their phone, which is why she was so distracted going through the lights. Insurance scams. One that's very, very popular, it's very dangerous, is if somebody hits you from behind, it's the person who hits you that's at fault. And what a lot of people do, and this is a way of riding off a car, and the NRMA and the RACQ will tell you that people have done this, they drive at great speed with a car right behind them and then suddenly slam on their brakes. Bang! The car behind hits them. It's the car behind's fault. And if the damage is severe enough, the car is written off. Have you heard of that? Have you ever been hit with an insurance scam? It goes on all the time, apparently. Tell me your story. 133353 is the telephone number. Look, plenty of other stuff I want to talk about this morning. I want to hear what's on your mind. I'll hear what's on Jess's mind. God help us a little bit later on today. But you can get involved on social media. The Night Shift on Triple M is Facebook. Twitter is @MMMNightShift. And the email nightshift@triplem.com.au. But whatever's on your mind, let's talk about it. Let's clear the air. It is hump day. It is the Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M network. Yeah, plenty to talk about this morning. 133353 is the number. G'day, Warren.
G'day, Lukey. How you going, mate?
Mate, I'm great. Warren, what are you up to?
Oh, just heading back to Brizzy.
You're driving? What do you drive?
Oh, I drive a double with my buddy Cream Carter.
Yes, okay. I know what that means.
Yeah. All right. Now, listen, I used to be a fuel tanker driver before I was doing this.
Yeah.
Quite a number of years. Mate, there is a big risk in leaving children in cars. There was an incident, it was a few years back now, it was probably 10 or 15 years back, where a car actually caught fire on the driveway of a service station while the mother was in pain.
Really?
Now, there was two children in the car. Mm. Now, the fire didn't kill them, but the toxic fumes from the materials inside the car, the children were asphyxiated, two of them.
They died? They perished?
Yes. Well, I think one was four and the other one was three and a half or something, or three.
Oh, no. When was this?
Oh, mate, it was a lot of years ago. I reckon it's probably 15 years ago or more. But there is a potential. Modern cars get very hot under the hood these days because they've got a lot of plastic under there and a lot of shrouding around the engine that make them look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But cars get very hot when they're sitting in traffic in Glen. You pull into a servo and, you know, the car's hot, there's a potential for... mate, fuel's a very dangerous product. People are very blasé about it.
Mm.
Now, you hear the old story, oh, I can put a cigarette out in a bucket of fuel. Yeah, you can do it, as long as it's a full bucket of fuel, not a fuel full of vapour and a little bit of fuel in the bottom. Now, fuel's a very dangerous thing. Now, just another thing about leaving children in cars, and you really should have your children ready to get out of the car at any point of time when you're in a servo. Their belts should be undone and ready to get out because there's lots of danger involved in fueling cars up. Now, when I was driving fuel, I used to actually go up and talk to mothers sometimes because, you know, quite often they'll have a little baby in a capsule or a baby seat in the car and they've got the window down, they're fueling up and they're talking to the baby through the window.
Yeah.
Now, that is the worst possible thing you can do because fuel's a hydrocarbon. And you know with the Aboriginal kids how they used to sniff fuel?
Yeah, Sadly, yes.
Yeah, well, the fuel's a hydrocarbon, and having the window open beside your children as their buddy, as you're fueling up, is really dangerous. The hydrocarbon's bad for a young child. So if you're going to have a window down so the children got some air, make sure it's the opposite side to where you're fueling on.
Yeah, okay.
It's very, very dangerous, mate. Like, you know yourself, when you fill up a petrol-driven car, not so much a diesel car, but you fill up petrol-driven cars, you can smell that vapor coming out of the fuel tank
yes.
as you're putting fuel in.
Yes, you're right. Like, yes.
Now, all them stinking, rotten, horrible vapors are going inside your motor vehicle while your young children in there. It's really dangerous.
So you,
it's extremely dangerous.
So you are a fuel tanker.
Well, I used to drive fuel tankers. I've been doing this about 3 years now, but I used to work for Coots, the big mob in Sydney and things like that. And when that big accident happened to the motor vehicle, I ended up getting made retrenched out of it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But fuel's a very dangerous product, and to have them, all them hydrocarbons going inside your car with your children, that's bad, mate. That's that bad. You're better off having the opposite side of the car, putting the windows down that side and closing the windows closest to your fuel tank.
Okay.
Because you don't want them vapors going inside your motor car with your vehicles.
Very good advice.
Mate, it's a really dangerous product, and people are so blasé about it. Over the years, I had to put out 2 fires on a servo.
Really?
Because of stupidity. Yeah, because of stupidity. But it happens. It does happen. You can put it on YouTube, put fuel fire in on YouTube, and you'll see so many instances of things in service stations, and just your average service station in your average suburb, it happens. Incidents happen all the time. You just never hear about them.
Hey, tell me this, Warren. You seem to know a lot about it. When you're filling up your car, you see a list of things you're not allowed to do, and one of them is you're not allowed to talk on the mobile phone while filling up your car. Why is that?
Well, it's an electrical device. It can cause static.
Okay, right.
It's not so much these days with smartphones, because they're pretty much a sealed unit. But there is a potential. Plus, it's a distraction, mate.
Yeah, it's a distraction, yeah.
With the older phones, it was always an thing. It's not when you're so much talking about it. It's when people pick them up and answer them. Sometimes it can cause a little spark between the battery and the actual phone set itself.
Yeah.
And when you got all vapors around you, there's a potential for an accident, and it does happen.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, it's all a myth. It's not a myth at all.
Yeah.
It actually happened.
I was filling up at a Shell the other day, I could hear this woman talking, and I thought she was talking to me.
Yeah.
And I looked over, and she was talking on the phone, and the signs are very clear. It says don't use a mobile phone. I didn't say anything because I'm not one of those people. Should I have?
Well, yeah, you should have.
Should I have gone over and pointed to the sign?
Yeah, well, it's actually against the law, too. You can be fined for it. Now, Luke, do you mow your own lawns at home?
Only if Nikki is very, very ill.
Okay, but anyway, but obviously you've got a lawnmower, haven't you?
Hang on a second, Jess wants to say something. What were you saying? Hang on a second.
I feel like if Nikki was ill, you still wouldn't do them. You'd just let it grow over. You'd take it to a metre.
No, I like mowing the lawn. Mowing the lawn's very... Sorry, Warren, I hope I haven't ruined your track of thought. Mowing the lawn, Jess, you wouldn't know this because you have just got concrete everywhere, and I know you have, but because of your ethnic background, what is it about ethnic people who love concrete? And some even green concrete. But mowing a lawn is very therapeutic, isn't it, Warren?
Well, I hate it, mate. I'll let the wife do it. She's got a ride on, so she does it. But anyway, getting back to that.
Your wife's a what?
She's got a ride on.
Oh, wife, I thought. Okay. Anyway.
Well, she's a ride on as well.
But anyway, stop it, yes.
But look, you mow your own lawn, so you've got to go down and get petrol for your mower. Right?
Yes.
Now, you obviously put it in a can.
Yes.
Right. Now, when you fill that fuel can up, do you hold it in your hand or you put it on the floor?
Look, you're asking the wrong person, and I'll tell you why. Our mower is called an Enviro mower, and it's a battery-operated mower.
Okay. All right.
So I have had to get fuel for the chainsaw, so keep going.
Okay. So would you put the can on the floor or would you hold it in your hand and put the nozzle in and fill it up?
Well, I put the can on the ground at the servo.
Yeah, and fill it up, or would you hold it in your hand and hold the nozzle into it and just fill it up?
I think the way you're supposed to do it is you're supposed to hold it, aren't you?
No, mate, you're supposed to put it on the ground. You've got a potential to burst into flames if you hold it in your hand.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because you're not bonding the surfaces. Like, that's one of the main things that causes accidents in servos, where people are fueling up fuel cans.
Yeah.
And they've either got them sitting in the back of a ute, or sitting in the back of their car and not on the ground, where earthed out to the ground. It's called static electricity. Static electricity can jump. And most people stand there and they hold the nozzle above the can, right, in their hand while they're standing there, and it's the potential just to explode into flames. Mm. That happens all the time.
Okay, so always ground the can.
Put it on the ground. Make sure the little nozzle, the thing you're putting the fuel in with, touches the can and then fill it up, and then you're 100% safe. If you do it any other way, you're putting yourself at risk.
Okay.
And everyone around you at risk.
You're a...
The static electricity, mate, it's a really dark science, but it's a really dangerous science.
You're a mine of information, Warren. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I had to put one bloke out, and I had to put a... get rid of a garbage bin on fire in a servo, so... Yeah, you know, it's not a nice feeling when you've got a whole fuel tank of fuel beside you.
Got another question for you, Warren. I've asked this question a couple of times and I get a different answer every time.
Yeah, go on.
Is it true that if you see a big fuel tanker at a servo delivering its fuel, you should not buy petrol at that service station because it's the fuel going down into the tanks under the ground has stirred up all the sediment? And if you fill up your car from that bowser, you'll get sediment through your car. Is that true?
In the old days, yes, but not so much these days. Most of the fuel pumps have got bloody four filters in them now.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not many fuel stations that let their fuel get that low where it's going to hit the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Mate, it's very, very unlikely these days. And normally most cars have got two filters on. They've got one on the fuel tank and one on the fuel system up in the engine itself. And there's four filters in the pumps, so it's very unlikely.
All right, just like us.
Very unlikely.
Okay.
Very unlikely.
Warren, I'll let you keep driving. You take care.
All right, mate.
And thank you very much. You've been very informative. We love callers like you.
Yeah, well, people just need to be aware that fuel is a really dangerous product. If you treat it the wrong way, it can go pear-shaped.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Good on you, Warren. Thank you for that.
All right, mate. Bye-bye.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Call back anytime. This is The Night Shift. And Jess gets very, very excited over social media for some reason. I don't know why, but she loves it. So if you can get access to Facebook, have a look at our site. It's called The Night Shift on Triple M, but Triple M is TRIPLE, not MMM. The Night Shift on Triple M. You can tweet us at MMM Night Shift, and the email is nightshift@triplem.com.au. Some social media feedback from Mick. Hey, Jess and Luke, why do we listen? Because we are tired of crap night radio shows, and then we found you two. Now you don't have to be mad, but it helps. Cheers. Mick the Chicken Chaser. Good on you, Mick. And an email from Mike. Hi, guys. Just listening to the callers about the police training. As ex-highway patrol and police rescue, I tell you I've seen heaps of things I wish I hadn't. Training and management from the New South Wales Police in regards to the trauma you will see is appalling, hence why so many like myself are medically discharged with PTSD. Cheers, guys. Mike, I don't know how you and your colleagues cope with seeing some of the things you have to see, and how special are people like you who choose to do what you do, and sometimes it obviously gets too much for you. My sister-in-law is a paramedic. She was a very, very successful real estate operator. She was a very successful real estate agent. And then all of a sudden she said, I'm going to have a change of career, and she became a paramedic. Enormous training, enormous amount of training. And some of the things that she's told me she's seen, and I don't know how she has the resilience to keep backing up, but she does. And she's taken to this new career like a duck to water. I'm so extremely proud of her. It's a tough job. It's a very, very tough job. Anyway, 133353 is the number. Dan is in Adelaide. Hi.
G'day, Luke. How are you, buddy?
I'm very good, Dan. We had the radio ratings come out yesterday, and this show has done very, very well in Adelaide, which is nice. So thank you to you and your mates.
Well, that's because you're awesome. You always have been.
I don't know.
Been listening to you since day one.
I don't know about that. But anyway, nice to have you there.
Cheers, Luke. I wanted to talk to you quickly about someone who tried an insurance scam on me once.
For those who've just joined us, some stations have just joined us, at the beginning of the program, we were talking about insurance scams, car insurance scams, and there are plenty out there, and there are plenty of people trying to try one on. I talked about the... there's a name for it, and the name escapes me, but it's when you're driving along and you suddenly slam on the brakes when you know there's a car close to you behind you. It hits you from behind. It's their fault, even if you just do slam on the brakes randomly, and they have to pay for any damage. And if the car's written off, well, there you go. That's a common one, apparently. Go on.
Well, mine was a little bit different, but similar. Because so, I am actually a hire car driver, like a chauffeur driver, and I was picking up a passenger and driving them to an appointment. And there was a car in front of us. We stopped at the set of traffic lights, and I was behind him. And basically, this guy, the lights turned green. He wouldn't move. Mm-hmm. I honked him. And then what he did, he quickly put it in reverse and reversed his car into the front of my car.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he ran me with the back. But because I hit him from behind, technically I'm at fault.
But he hit you.
That's right. He's reversed into me, but because
damage was the rear of his car and the front of yours, the photos would suggest that you hit him.
Yep. And the only thing that saved me and put it back onto him was that I had an independent witness who's no relation and have no connection to me whatsoever.
That's it.
And
you need to get witnesses.
That's the insurance company... was in my favour, not his favour.
Well, he should have been charged as well.
Yeah. No, I never got that far. I don't know what the insurance company did with in terms of taking it that far, but he just tried it on because I was driving a high end luxury vehicle, thought he could get away with some sort of
insurance scam.
Compensation and a better car, and he tried it on by deliberately reversing his car in the front of mine.
Or it could have even been more than just insurance for his car. He might have claimed whiplash or an injury.
Exactly, like public liability insurance as well, because I'm a hire car vehicle, so it's common knowledge that taxis and commercial vehicles will have an insurance as well.
Hey, tell me this, Dan.
Yeah, mate.
Do you have one of those GoPro cameras on your dash?
I do now. I didn't know that because this was a couple of years ago, but I actually do now,
Because
that happened to me.
I'm thinking of getting one. And I was talking to a mate of mine who has one, and he says, in this day and age, you're mad not to. Yeah, because the proof is right there, and it could help. Yeah. It could help you get out of falsely being told you're going through a red light, for example.
Well, if I didn't have that guy, the customer in the car with me, I would have been totally no. I would have been screwed.
Yeah, you were screwed. Yeah,
there was no comeback from that. You know, because I had, and like I said, I've got a camera now facing forward, but back then I didn't. And, yeah, if I didn't have that guy, that customer with me, he would have got away with that. So, I was lucky with that. I got lucky, big time. Yeah, so because obviously it put my car off the road as well, and that was my income. You know what I mean? Without my car, I can't work. So, and if Pelican, just kind of shonky and he came off second best.
Tell me, Dan, since you got the camera, has it saved you? Have you needed to use the proof of the camera?
Not touch wood, not so far.
No.
But it has. I mean, I also keep it. If someone else is, doing something stupid in front of me, at least that there's always that proof that I've got that there as well. So because we've got cameras inside the car, but not facing outside the car.
If there's anyone listening that has one of these cameras, can you give me a call? and would you get one at the rear as well? I wonder.
Well, There's no reason why I shouldn't. But yeah, since that incident, I've always had one in the front of my car now, just for my own peace of mind, as well as in case someone else tries it again. So
yeah, no, very good advice, Dan. Thank you for your call and thanks for listening to us in Adelaide.
No worries, mate. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, insurance scams. What have you encountered? Give us a call and tell us. 1-333-53. And I'd really like to hear from anyone who has installed a dash cam. Have you needed it? Has it saved you from prosecution in any way? Would you recommend that I get one? This mate of mine says, are you mad not to in this day and age? So you tell me. 1-333-53 is the telephone number. Dwayne is in Hobart. G'day, Dwayne.
Hi, I was ringing up in regards to leaving kids in the car.
Yeah.
Especially in the petrol station kind of things.
Yes.
But whatever happened to the petrol stations actually being service stations and actually coming out to the car? And
oh, well, those days are long gone.
Oh, they should bring them back, mate. It's not going to cost them that much.
Well, it will. Instead of just having one bloke sitting up behind the cash register, you need more people.
And it'll be security with numbers around too, less likely of things going on overnight.
Yeah, the old service station. Jess, you wouldn't remember this. This is way before your time. But, Jess, back in the day, you'd go into a servo and people, a little man in a uniform would come out. He wore a hat and a shirt. And he would have BP on him or whatever. And he would say, yes, sir, how can I help you? And you'd say, fill it up with super. Mm. And while he was doing that, because you could put the fuel, what do you call it? The pump.
Yeah.
You could put it on, or you could click it and it would stay on automatically. And then he'd open the bonnet and he would check your oil, he'd check your water, and he would clean your windscreen.
Yeah.
That actually isn't so foreign to me. Look, I've been using that my whole life because the exact same thing happens in Lebanon and Dubai. So since I was young, I've seen that a lot. It's an amazing service.
I want to know, I'm going to put a shout out, Jess. Is there a service station in Australia that still does that, where the man or woman comes out and gives you service? Like the old days, a real service station. Is there one left anywhere in Australia? Let's find out. Sorry, Dwayne, keep going.
No, you're right. We've got a couple of them in Hobart that do it.
Really?
Yeah.
With real people?
Yeah, one in Claremont does it. They're like a petrol station as well, because they have all the stuff on the inside that you can go in. But they do come out and have people come. There's one in Wilton Vale as well that does it.
Really?
Yeah, they're still far and few between.
How do they afford to do it? How do they compete with servos? Listen to me, I'm calling them servos don't do it. I mean, that's a wage they've got to pay.
I'm just trying to think. One's the United petrol station, which is a pretty big one, but I can't remember what the other one was. So if it was a privately kind of owned one or what, but yeah.
Mm.
So they are very far and few between still out there, but yeah.
All right, listen, thank you for the call. Dwayne, let's see if we can find any more.
No worries, good luck.
Okay, what are you doing?
Love your show.
What are you doing in Hobart?
I work at Coles supermarkets, just stocking the shelves, and I finished at midnight.
And you're listening to Triple M.
Listen to you guys on the ride home.
Good place to live, Hobart.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Recommend it to anyone. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're miles away from where all the action is?
I do. We do feel like segregated from the rest of Australia from time to time, you know. It's like the mainland get all these big artists coming down and all everything, and Tasmania gets left off the map.
Yeah,
which is a shame. But we have had some big ones come down. Like we had Elton John recently, and John Lennon coming down soon. So.
John Lennon,
yeah, big acts coming down.
I don't know if you're getting John Lennon.
Oh no, that's to Australia. I missed.
No, I.
Yeah, think, see, we got left off again.
I'm pretty sure.
No, you're giving away the tickets. That's what.
I'm pretty sure John Lennon died on the 8th of December, 8, 1980. He was shot.
Oh, I'm getting the wrong one.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Chapman from memory. December 8, 1980.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah. But anyway.
Unless I'm bringing him down.
unless John Edwards going to perform and channel him for you.
Possibly.
Yeah. All right. listen, thanks for your call.
No, don't worry. I'll scratch that last comment there.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. I got a funny feeling John Lennon's not going to Tassie. 133353. Jess, can you tell me if there was an earthquake that killed at least, at last count, 530 people, if it happened in America, Europe, the UK, Australia, it would make worldwide headline news, correct?
Yep, but it didn't, did it?
There was a earthquake in Iran, Iraq. It happened on Tuesday near the Iran-Iraq border. It has killed, at last count, 530 people and injured 7,460. Crews are digging through the rubble in the Kurdish town of Sapolezahab. Have I pronounced that correctly, Jess? And they're searching for victims and survivors. Rescuers searched the rubble of toppled buildings for bodies yesterday as the death toll from a powerful earthquake that struck a border region between Iran and Iraq climbed to last count 530. The province of Kermanshah in western Iran was hardest hit. It was a magnitude 7.3 earthquake. All of Iran's fatalities occurred there. Iran's state-run IRNA news agency reported the new death toll and said 7,460 people had been injured. That is just terrible, terrible, terrible stuff. Isn't it amazing, Jess? Isn't it amazing? Had that happened in Australia or anywhere else in the world, it'd be the first news bulletin on every television and radio station. It'd be front page news in every newspaper. It happened on the border of Iran and Iraq. And no one says anything. I can't believe it. Just an observation. This is The Night Shift on the Triple M Network. There is social media, and it excites Jess. Jess loves her social media. How's our Facebook looking? Did you have a look?
You always spring it on me, Loki. You got to give me just...
I gave you a warning.
60 minutes?
I gave you a warning an hour ago.
In an hour, a lot can change. The numbers go up.
Do they? Do they go up that fast?
Yeah, you don't... You would...
Go on.
You don't check it at all, do you?
No.
Never, not once. You don't even open Facebook.
I'm going to... I do from time to time. I'm going to give the nation its weather, and when I finish, I want to know how we're looking.
I've got it.
Well, now we're going to keep people...
Did I cut you off?
Now we're going to keep people... in suspense. Sydney 25 today, mostly sunny. Brisbane 26, partly cloudy. Townsville 30, partly cloudy. Melbourne 31, partly cloudy, but a 90% chance of showers, most likely late this afternoon. Adelaide 22 and a 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Hobart 30 and a high chance of showers and afternoon thunderstorms, possibly some heavy falls in Hobart. And Perth 31 and mostly sunny.
30,367.
So, what's our next?
35,000, probably.
35. And when do you predict?
Yeah, how's your maths?
When do you predict?
When do I predict? Damn.
Okay.
I don't know. I need to look at the stats.
Now, I know that you've had a couple of people say it's really annoying when Luke says the phone number and we ring the phone number, it's engaged.
Yeah, you do that often. You don't check Facebook. You don't check your screens. I'm your eyes, Lukey. I am your eyes.
No, but sometimes I see a couple of lines free. People have dropped out. So I say it. But while I'm saying it, people ring in.
Well, then you got to say that too.
I can't win, can I?
You really can't. But that's why you got to plug the...
social media.
Well done.
Facebook, The Night Shift on Triple M. Twitter, at MMM Night Shift. And the email is nightshift@triplem.com.au. Pete, g'day.
G'day, Lukey. How are you?
I don't know, mate. Look what I've got to work with here. It's
look, you got to look after her, mate. She's a sweetheart. She's been so nice to me on the phone.
Has she?
Yeah, she's a darling, mate. You look after her.
Mate, look after her. I've done more than look after her. Look at the super national superstar I've created. She gets more. Well, she gets more emails than me, more Facebook than me. She gets more calls than me.
There's a reason for that. She's probably a lot better looking than you.
Oh, that's not hard.
Well, maybe if you check the Facebook, open the emails, answer the calls, you'd see that a lot of it is for you too, darling.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see the lips she gives me.
Oh, well, look. Hey, look. She's a female, mate. You've just got to just agree and go with the flow. You know the rule?
Yeah, go with the flow. Just go with the flow. Take a deep breath. Go with the flow. Peter, you're in Mildura.
Correct.
What do you do there?
Look after me, Mum. I've rang you before.
Yeah. You're looking after Mum. Good on you.
On the concrete, if it looks after Mum, I just rang you. That bloke that rang you last night, that Travis, this dude. I've been tangled up in the racing game all my life. The dude that rang up about being the SP bookie.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about why did you get expelled from school?
Correct. And I didn't get expelled, but my maths teacher used a pencil for a bookmaker. And when I was going to school, I ran a book. In 79, when Hyperno won the cup. Anyway, we won $360.
Really?
Miami, mate. And my mate, who is now a steward with Harness Racing Victoria.
Really?
Anyway, what happened was we got busted because a couple of blokes didn't want to pay and we sent a couple of strong arms in, but anyway, it didn't work. But we end up getting our coin and we got called up to the office. Anyway, Macca, our maths teacher, said, "Righto, you blokes, sit down." And my mate's going, "We're going to get busted. We're going to get kicked out of school. We're going to go." Shut up. Don't worry about it. Let me do the talking. You just shut up. But how much did you make? Well, we made 360. I said, 180. Macca said, "Listen, if I get 50, nothing will be said. Pull your head in. If I get 50, the show's over because I see the races all the time, see?" Anyway, so that's right. We give him 50 and we walk out and he goes, "We made more money than that. We made more money than that." And I said, "Shut up, you know, get out the door. We've got the coin, shut up. We got out of it light." Anyway, about 10, 15 years later, I played basketball with my maths teacher's son.
Yeah.
And that was Macca. And he was a really great bloke. Anyway, I was doing a concrete job and I called into the joint where he used to have coffee every morning and he sat there and he said, "Come over here, Pedro, I'll share your coffee." So I sat down with him and I'm having a toast and sandwich and he goes, "You know all them years ago when you ran that book?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can you give me 50? He said, "You've been lying for 20 years. I know you made more money out of that, arsehole." So he knew and you know, he never dubbed me in. So what a legend.
So
plus, I was a head cigarette seller, and like other mate did, I sold a few calculators when they come in too. Like I was the go-to man at the high school.
And you got caught?
Yeah, I got busted a couple of times. But never got kicked out.
You never got kicked out. So you were selling stolen calculators. You were selling stolen cigarettes.
No, not stolen cigarettes. What I used to do was, Viscount specials were 67 cents a packet. And I used to sell them for 20 cents each. And I was smoking Benson Hedges special filter because they were $1.02. But I was making a fortune. It was beautiful. I was sort of a young entrepreneur, I suppose.
A young Al Capone by the sound of it.
Always knew how to make a quid, Lukey.
Well,
always knew how to get a quid.
Well, there you go. Running an SP book at school.
Yep, I ran an SP book.
But if people, times. But when you're at school, what, are you talking about year 10, year 11, year 12, what?
Year 8, year 9, year 10.
So year 8, I mean, you're only 13.
Yeah, but I grew up in the racing industry, mate, and I've been a bag man for bookmaker. I used to run money for bookies when I was 14.
But when you're at school, as someone puts a bet on, and they lose and they owe you, or they pay up straight away, do they?
Not always. We used to have to sort of, you know, get around, and if they didn't pay, I had a couple of big mates. Just used to,
You used to convince them to pay?
Yeah, there's a couple of blokes used to convince them. I'm only a skinny bloke, but, yeah, I was sort of, I was the honcho. I had blokes that used to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, God. All right, listen, Peter, you're an interesting character. How's your mum?
Yeah, no, Mum struggles a bit with pain, but she's going all right. She's 78 and still pumping it out. She'll be all right.
Don't
worry about her. She'll live forever, mate.
All right, well, good on you, Pete. Good to hear from you again, then take care of yourself.
No worries, Lukey. Hey, great stuff. You look after mine, Jess.
Yeah, I'll look after it, don't worry.
All right, buddy.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. 1-3-3-5-3... Oh, sorry, there, did it again, Jess. Did it again. All the lines are full. Peter's line should be empty now. Scott, g'day.
Hey, Luke, how you going?
Yeah, good, Scott. What do you got?
Mate, you were talking about monitoring GPS, GoPros and all that sort of thing.
Now,
the
reason I mention it is because there are a lot of people out there in Triple M land who are into insurance scams.
Yeah.
And you probably heard that caller a little while ago now say that he pulled up and the car in front reversed at great speed back into him, hoping that he could prove that it was the other way around, that that guy had hit him from behind for an insurance scam. A GoPro or a dash cam would have proved that his innocence. Luckily, he had a witness that thwarted the plan, but it's got to be worth having one, isn't it?
Yeah, well, mate, you can get them online for well under $100, which includes a little reverse camera on them. So you can clip a camera on the back of your car, you can have it running out the front, you can have them set on motion light. If you walk in front of your car, the light will come on. I've got a new WRX and it's got one in it, and as soon as you walk past the car, the light flashes. But my new truck, I've got four on it, and I've got a three Logics IVMS system in this, which records for 7 days and then drops out, and then it starts recording again. And it saved me with accident two or three times. And, mate, worth every cent putting a cheap one in your car. But us trucks, mate, we're GPS and we're camera left, right and centre, so there's not much we can do without being seen by the eyes.
Yeah, I'm thinking seriously about getting a dash cam, but should I get a one for the back as well? I've already got
it. You can buy them with it. The extra one I bought for my new car, it just clips onto the windscreen and a wire goes up the back and it records rear and front. And it goes for about 2 days with the smart card I've got in it, and then just got to download it, wipe it out, start it again. And some can go longer, but like I said, the one in the truck, it goes 7 days and it covers every square inch of the whole truck full side.
Are they easy to install?
The ones you buy online are just, they're called plug and play. All you do is suction cup them to a windscreen, and away you go, and you charge them up, and they just work off your 12-volt cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
The ones I've got in the truck now are hardwired to a 10-inch screen, and I can click on any camera, and it records the whole four sides, and it doesn't miss a beat, and it saved me with accidents, with cars hitting me, and they're good. They're worth every cent.
But what about the one in the rear? That has to be wired in, doesn't it?
Oh, all it is, it comes with a plug-in. So all it does, the one I've got in my car, it's just a plug. I run the wire and cable it underneath the car, and I've mounted it next to my reverse camera, which is automatically in my screen, and it's an extra one I've put next to it. So when the front one's going, the back one's going as well. So if anyone runs up your ass or anything like that happens, and, you know, like with my truck, when I've had the last accident, I got out and I had the bloke standing in front of the truck, and he said, "Why are you standing here?" I said, "Because you're under camera. See, on the screen, I'm recording you as we talk." Oh. And they back off.
Does it record audio?
The one in the truck doesn't, and the one in the car doesn't, but just to have him in front of the truck just have him on screen is a good idea. It proves we've exchanged details and that sort of thing. And with the last one I hit with the dog in the car, it actually recorded him getting out of the car, putting the dog back on the front seat of the car, and the truck camera caught him. And his insurance mob rang me personally and said that I'd cut him off and I was speeding, and we'd have to record him flying up the inside of me, tide swiping the truck with the dog on his lap. And then when I told the insurance, we got photos of the dog, we had GPS of what speed I was doing, they backed off and they said, "Oh, in this case, both parties
we go our separate way. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Yeah, they'll always try it on.
Oh, look, they do. But for under $100, get on that wonderful, crappy site called eBay. There's thousands on there. It's worth an investment.
That is great stuff. Thank you very much, Scotty. You've been...
Have a great night.
You've been very, very helpful, and I'm going to do it because... for such a small investment, it could save you such a massive headache.
I'll give one a bit more quality advice. The white ant can buy you one for Christmas.
Where is she? She's left her post. I can't
see.
Where
she's gone? She's in the kitchen stealing someone else's 2-minute meals.
Oh, without a doubt.
Buy a box of meals, and she can buy you a GoPro.
Where is she? I tell you what I bought her.
In the kitchen.
I bought her, because we've got a Coles downstairs, I bought her a garden salad because she eats rabbit food, right?
Yeah.
I bought her, and she also eats meat, I bought her a half a chicken, I bought her her favourite little can of salmon, and where is she? She can't be spotted off Nobby's. She's gone.
No, of course not. She's eating her way from you, so she doesn't have to share, because sharing is caring, but with Jess, it's being selfish.
Not yeah, you've worked her out. You've worked her out.
Oh, been on there with you guys since the day you started, so you get to know her pretty well.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Have a good night.
Hey, where are you heading?
I'm smack in the middle of Tempe at the moment, heading back into Sydney, and I'm doing waste. I drive a hook lift with compactors on it, so I'm a waste wally.
All right, well, look, these dash cams, I've got to look at getting one. But, oh, here she comes now. Hang on. And she's shaking her head. Oh, she looks dark. She looks very, very dark.
So she's being normal.
Are you both done? Are you finished? Scott, I can ban you. I have your number.
That's all right. I've got a plate of baklava. We can share.
Thank you, Scotty.
Have a good night. See you guys.
Yeah, good to see you back, Jess, by the way. Good of you to drop in. 133353 is the phone number. This is the Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. Godwin, is it?
It is Godwin.
How are you, Goddy?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm good, Godwin. Why are you up?
Well, I'm up. I have an acquired brain injury. I had a track accident approximately 20 years ago.
Oh, dear. That's no good. You okay?
Yes and no. I mean, no, I haven't worked ever since.
It was obviously a serious accident. It was you were a truck driver, are you?
Well, yeah, I was at the time. And again, it was all like mainly what you've been speaking about is there's not enough signage. There was only one sign. It was a new road to me. I was cutting through the snowy mountains.
Yeah.
I missed a 60 kilometre an hour sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing, you know, 90, 100. Black ice on the road. Yeah. I'd done a left-hand bend. The trailer was on a jackknife, virtually kill me. I dropped a couple of gears, put the handbrake on a little bit.
Yeah.
Transit to try and pull her all nice and straight. Virtually got it. Well, I got it nice and straight. Next thing you know, I look up. Oh, holy Christ, another corner. I remember going wide, and that was my last memory of the accident. I didn't actually remember whether I hit the side of the mountain or went off. And again, I'd really like to thank the lifesavers that found me, because I didn't hit the side of the mountain. I just went straight off the edge of the cliff.
Oh, no.
Went down.
How far down did you drop?
They measured it 100 metres.
No way.
They found me about 7 hours later.
Your truck went off a cliff and went down 100 metres?
And I actually jumped another truck halfway, a stock crate, which I have photos of, and I ended up right at the bottom in the town's drinking water, and I dropped 24 ton of fertilizer in the town's drinking water of Talbingo. That was on the 6th of October 96. I know it made the newspaper that following week, which again I've gone to a lot of extreme lengths and to find out, because like normal, they won't help you do anything. The mental health system is just absolutely disgraceful. But I have been with TAC since then.
You're lucky to be alive, aren't you?
That's an understatement. Look, and again, I was found by three lifesavers.
Yeah.
Three or four lifesavers. Again, it was only because they saw the break in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the three that were in the back were drinking up heavily, and the driver was sober. And again, they needed to go for a urine, so they made him pull over there, and they saw me wriggling around underneath the truck.
So they stopped to have a leak, and that's the only reason they saw you?
That's the only reason, and again, it was 5:30 at night. So,
how long were you out there?
I roughly went off by my logbook at around 10:30 in the morning.
So how many hours were you on your own?
From 10:30 to 5:30.
Nearly 8 hours, a bit over 8 hours.
Yeah, just over 8 hours. And again, they reckon the only reason I survived, I've got an athlete's heart. It only does like about 67 beats a minute. Otherwise, again, I was hypothermic and all the rest of it. I remember speaking to him once. It took me, again, a great deal. I had to go through the ambulance, freedom of information to try and get him. I did get to thank him, which I was quite pleased about. But again, to go to the trouble to try and get somebody's name who actually saved your life is so difficult. Why should that be so, yeah? I mean, all you want to do is, again, just thank him. And again, I did get to ring him up, and I did thank him. That was a long, long time ago. I know they were from Queensland.
Yeah.
That was the best of what I can remember.
Yeah.
I have got an acquired brain injury, but I am of one of the very few. I still have a goddamn good memory, which, again, amazes quite a lot of people.
Well, look, I tell you what, it's a long time ago now, 1996, but maybe, look, as I said to Chris, who rang up much earlier today, he helped save the life of a little girl back in 2003. Shirley Avenue, Southport, a Ford Laser skated across the road in heavy rain. There was a mum and a daughter in the car. And he helped the little girl stay together, literally, until the ambos came. He's dying to know how they're getting on, because they both miraculously survived this car accident. So maybe the people that saved you and helped you are listening. So...
if I can give you just one more quick one.
Yeah.
We're on our way to Eastern Creek when it first opened up.
Yeah, the racetrack, yep.
The racetrack, yeah. Me and all my friends were only teenagers back then, because it only just opened up. One of my good mates, he just won the pools only 3 years before that. If you don't mind, I will say his name, Stephen Toth. He was a terribly good man. We're on our way to Eastern Creek, and unfortunately, again... there wasn't enough signs. He sort of missed a corner. We went off. He died. Everybody had gotten out of the vehicle. Unfortunately, I was stuck underneath all our goods and on the door. I waited for everybody to get out. I remember that. After they'd gotten out and... I thought, well, there's no one left, so I started screaming out for help. Then I heard all the boys, shit, God, he's still in there. So they've all come bolting, obviously. They've pulled me out, and as they're pulling me out, Stephen Toth is still stuck there in the driver's seat with his neck pushed down through his neck and blood coming out of everywhere. Yeah.
Mm, no.
Look, I mean, I've seen so many, I've been in so many. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And again, it's usually because of a road sign, because there isn't enough about to tell you. Again, there was a sharp corner coming up.
Yeah, so the moral to your story, Godwin, is we need more and clearer signage. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, please, my God. Please, any God.
Okay. I got the message. And, Godwin, you never know who's listening. Maybe those three people that helped save you back in 1996 are listening, and maybe they'll get in touch. You never know. We'll keep our eyes and ears open, okay?
Thank you very, very much. Right. You really have a good one, Luke. Love your show.
You take care. Jess is just saying, and Jess and I are very, very sorry that you lost your mate that day.
That's all right. Thank you very, very much. I've lost quite a few since then.
Yeah, well, you take care of yourself, okay?
Always trying. Thank you, and I love your show. Thank you.
Good on you, Godwin. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, mate. You take care. Yesterday, we had some quite vigorous debate over the RSPCA's calls for tougher punishments. It's been revealed that animal cruelty perpetrators are avoiding jail and just getting slapped on the wrist. And this goes even for repeat offenders. Animal welfare groups are demanding tougher penalties, with the RSPCA warning that the community would be outraged if it knew the extent of the soft sentences. I thought in lieu of that, I would talk to someone high up in the hierarchy within the RSPCA. We found David O'Shaughnessy, who was the chief inspector with RSPCA New South Wales, and he spends a lot of his time in court. He was actually in court for that terrible animal cruelty that went on in Goulburn with the puppy farm, who pleaded guilty to cruelty involving 71 dogs. We'll tell you about that in just a sec. And there was another case of cruelty that was proven in Manly court yesterday, but yet another slap on the wrist. We've got a couple of lines open for the first time. 133353 is the number. If you want to call through, we'll get to you shortly. But, I spoke to David O'Shaughnessy from the RSPCA late last night about all of this. Here's what he had to say.
So there was a situation where a couple of months ago a resident who owned two dogs was going overseas and was doing the responsible thing, looked online for a pet minding service. They found a service and engaged someone to look after their two dogs. One of those dogs was the dog that you mentioned in the introduction, Otis the pug. It was left in the care of the child minder, who, child minder, I do apologise, was left in the care of the dog minder. And, you know, this is someone that's being paid to look after and care for someone's animal while they're overseas. In the care, it wasn't checked or monitored too closely. And ultimately, it sustained a very nasty neck injury as a consequence of it wearing a dog harness that hadn't been released or taken off, removed for up to 3 weeks. And as a consequence of this harness not being removed, and, you know, we've seen similar situations in the past where people have dog collars on animals and, you know, the animals grow and as a consequence they don't remove the collars and you get neck injuries. This is, you know, one of the first times I've heard of an animal sustaining an injury like this as a consequence of a harness. Essentially, you know, that you put the harness on, you take it for a walk, that's fine. But no one recommends leaving a dog in a harness all the time. As a consequence, yeah, poor Otis suffered quite a significant injury to its neck. And, you know, if the listeners can sort of get online, they can see some quite graphic pictures that show a sort of a full thickness neck injury to this dog, all as a consequence of it wearing this harness. The person, you know, looking after it, not paying close enough attention, and as a result, you know, this poor dog suffered a significant injury and experienced quite a lot of pain and distress as a consequence.
Was the perpetrator sentenced?
The perpetrator entered a plea of guilty yesterday in Manly Court. They were convicted and ultimately fined $800.
Another fine. Why do you think so many perpetrators walk? Look, I feel very, very bad for Otis the pug. That's a terrible story, but it's certainly on a scale of 1 to 10. It's nowhere near number 10 on the list that was published in the paper the other day, serious as it is. Why is the judiciary being so lenient?
I guess sort of just touching on Otis, one of the main things that came out of this is a consequence of his treatment. He did make a complete recovery, so it was a good outcome for Otis the dog. In relation to the judiciary, it's a difficult position for the RSPCA to be making comment. I mean, we are, I guess, empowered to investigate acts of cruelty and prosecute matters. So our role in this is to investigate those matters and take the offenders to court where they are dealt with by the courts. So it's not really up to us to be making those comments. Appreciate that there are sentencing guidelines and that sort of thing. But because we do prosecute a number of matters, we do get the community feedback. So in relation to Otis's matter today, using it as an example, Otis's matter yesterday, using it as an example, the RSPCA put up a story online. 4 hours after it was ultimately published, there were, 900 people that had liked the article, and I'm sure they're not liking the article for what it is.
No, they're telling you that they support it. They support what you're doing.
There were 217 shares. There were 373 comments, and I guess this is a measure of some of the comments. I mean, some of them have had to be removed because of the nature of them, but these comments are a sentiment of the public attitude. You know, boycott the dog mining service. How is he still allowed to work with animals? Only $800 fine. Poor dog.
Yeah, how long has he been minding dogs? What sort of references did he have? How do you go about finding a dog minding service or a pet minding service and know that you can go away with confidence?
Yeah, and one of the challenges with this sort of thing that, this is an animal trade. This is someone that is making money by looking after other people's animals. So, you would expect everybody needs to treat animals appropriately, but if you're running a business that cares for animals, it's not unreasonable to expect a higher standard of care. But that's not how the circumstances played out for Otis, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Now, quickly, we had an inquiry from a young boy from Adelaide yesterday who's into rodeos. The treatment of bulls and bucking broncos at rodeos, is that deemed cruel?
I guess from the RSPCA's perspective, we're opposed to the use of animals in rodeos and sport in that sort of fashion because of the potential for significant injury, suffering and distress that might be caused. There are codes of practice, there are guidelines that sort of dictate the way that animals should be used. It's not illegal. But as indicated, the RSPCA is certainly opposed to rodeos and rodeo events because of that potential for significant injury, pain, distress and suffering.
Is mulesing or the practice of mulesing sheep cruel in the eyes of the RSPCA?
I guess from the RSPCA's perspective, it can be cruel. RSPCA encourages, research into alternatives. And also, the adoption of pain relief for the mulesing procedure. It's a challenging situation that if sheep aren't mules in some respects, there is potential for significant suffering further down the line if they are ultimately struck by flies.
Yeah, I've seen photos of fly-struck sheep. It's not pretty. It might be a necessary evil. So, look, there you are. That's a conversation I recorded late last night with David O'Shaughnessy. He's the Chief Inspector of the RSPCA in New South Wales. So what do you make of all of that? 133353, and how is it that a professional dog minder can plead guilty, be fined in court for abusing a man's pet? I mean, the man's trusted these people to look after his two little dogs while he's away on holidays. They plead guilty to abuse, but they're still allowed to trade. They're still allowed to be professional dog minders. Work that out. 133353 is the telephone number. And there, along with in agreement with veterinary surgeon Rob Zammit, David O'Shaughnessy says rodeos, in the eyes of the RSPCA, are cruel to animals. Your thoughts?